Welcome to The Mental Breakdown. I'm Dr. Bernie Wilkinson, and today's podcast is about dealing with disappointment. But first, a few announcements. The Handbook for Raising an Emotionally Healthy Child, Part 1, Behavior Management, and the Elimination Diet Manual are both available on Amazon Kindle for immediate download. Great text to help you with a variety of issues, from managing your children's and especially understanding your children's behavior from infancy all the way through adolescence. The Handbook for Raising an Emotionally Healthy Child will help you understand their behavior and respond to it in the best way possible. The Elimination Diet Manual will help you look at your diet, your child's diet, and anyone else's diet to see if there are any things that you may be consuming on a daily basis that could be affecting your emotional, behavioral, or even your physical health. So these are both great tools to use, especially with children, to see if you can manage some of their behaviors a little bit better and feel like you have a little bit more control of things that's going on in the home. Also, the Parenting Your ADHD Child course is available at paydiallc.com. It's a course that has about 21 lessons. Well, there's 20 lessons and an introduction. So 21 lessons that cover everything from what is ADHD, what does ADHD look like at different times, what does medication do for ADHD, and why do we use medication so often with ADHD? But the majority of the lessons are all about things that you can do at home and things that you can consider when working with your child with ADHD to see if you can structure things up at the house so that you have a little bit more, a little bit better of an ability to manage your child's ADHD and bring some structure to the home. So again, it's a great course. It's getting some really nice reviews, so we'd really like for you to check it out and see what you think. If you go to the show notes, you'll be able to find the links to all of these things. And if you go to the PayDLLC link, you will be able to see an outline of the Parenting Your ADHD Child course. See a nice outline so you see everything up front, what you're going to get when you purchase that course. So I encourage you to check it out. So, all right, I think that's all of the announcements. So I hope that you enjoyed this podcast. As has been many of the more recent podcasts, it's a tough topic. But I hope that it's able to provide you some information to help you deal with disappointment, something that we all deal with on almost a daily basis. So enjoy. Breakdown. I'm Dr. Bernie. Now, we all deal with disappointment sometimes. We all deal with situations and factors that don't go our way. And I would have to say that many of the people that I work with clinically, one of the major things that they're coping with is dealing with disappointment. Either they thought that they would be at a different position in life by now, or they are frustrated with a relationship, or they're just struggling with dealing with various life circumstances that they had anticipated to go one way, but ended up going a different way. Again, whether it's, you know, challenges at work, challenges at school, whatever the case may be. And when we think about disappointment, you know, I think that there's some things that we need to talk about with disappointment first. I had a discussion one time with another person about disappointment. As I've mentioned many times before, as a soccer fan, there are times when I watch my team play, not the team that I coach, but the team that the teams that I root for, and I will watch them play, and I will see their performance, and I'll think, man, I'm really disappointed with how they played. And I said that one day, and this other person challenged me a little bit with that and said that, well, you shouldn't be disappointed. You know, the players go out and they do their best and they try hard, and, you know, to be disappointed is really maybe an inappropriate way to express your feelings. Well, from my perspective, disappointment is a perfect word for that that situation, because disappointment means that you have one expectation, you have an anticipated outcome, but that outcome didn't happen. That outcome didn't work in your favor or in the direction that you wanted it to go. And so you're disappointed about that. You're disappointed, not angry, not frustrated, not mad or anything like that. You're disappointed because there was one expectation and something else happened. You were expecting one thing and something else happened. So disappointment is whether you're talking about something relatively benign that really has no direct effect on my life, like the outcome of a soccer game, or we're talking about your work, your school. You know, you study hard and you go take a test and you're disappointed because you didn't get the grade, you didn't earn the grade that you thought that you were going to get. Or your boss gives you a project to work on and you feel like you did a good job, but he doesn't respond in the way that you had hoped that he would. Or, you know, your boss says that, you know, she needs you to do something different next time or adjust the way that you're working on it, or maybe even to do the whole thing over again. That kind of disappointment is something that we experience very often. And so in this podcast, I want to just talk about five quick steps that you can do and maybe work through to help deal with disappointment. Again, something, a very common emotion that we experience. Now, the first step is you have to wait. You have to allow those initial emotions to settle some before you react, before you do anything else. Oftentimes, disappointment brings anger and frustration and sadness, sometimes depression, anxiety. It can bring a lot of behaviors and thoughts and feelings that could be problematic if we're not careful. So the first thing that you want to do is when you experience some kind of disappointment is you want to let those emotions and let that initial reaction settle some before you do anything else. You know, as we get to the next steps, you're going to be working to analyze the situation a little bit. And if you do that in a very heightened emotional state, you're really going to only pay attention to particular things. You're not going to look at the situation as its whole. You're going to be looking at very specific things and hyper focus on those things. And so we want to let those emotions settle. Now, this could take a little while. For some situations, this disappointment, these initial feelings that you're going to have may take a couple of weeks to resolve. It sometimes, you know, depending on what it is, it could be something pretty devastating, something pretty impactful. And so you want to really pause and give it enough time for those emotions to settle. You know, sometimes you're going to need help. Sometimes you're going to need to talk to somebody else. You maybe even need to see a therapist or a counselor or something. But you need someone to help you deal with and cope with those symptoms. Depending on how long they last, there are even, you know, diagnoses that we associate with some of these things, like adjustment disorders and even acute stress disorders and things like that, that say that, you know, there was a stressor that you were presented with, something happened that you were really having a difficult time adjusting to. And certainly some of these factors that lead to disappointment could relate to that, could be associated with that. The next step is to take some time, now that the emotions have settled and everything, the next step is that you want to take some time to analyze what felt right about the situation. What was it about the situation that led you to believe or anticipate one thing, the positive thing, the outcome that you were hoping for? What was going on that led you to anticipate that? Sometimes the reason that this is so important is that sometimes we read things, we sometimes misread things, and so we expect something to happen, and when we go back and look at it again, it may not have been quite what we were anticipating. We may have misread it. We may have misunderstood some of the signs that we were reading that would lead us one way, when really they maybe should have been leading us in a different way. But take some time to analyze what felt right about it. Why were you expecting this one particular outcome? Was it just hopefulness? Was it confidence? Was it that somebody said something and so you took their word for it and that's why you were expecting that particular outcome? But analyzing what felt right about the situation is going to help you better understand what led to those initial that initial hopefulness or that initial expectation for something positive to happen or something to happen in the way that you were expecting it. Now, this balances, of course, with step three, which is now analyze what went wrong. Sometimes when you look at these situations, you're going to see that something that went wrong was because of somebody else. Somebody else did something or didn't do something that they needed to do or shouldn't have done, and that led to problems. That led to there being issues that led to the eventual outcome that caused your disappointment. But sometimes, many times, oftentimes, the reason that things didn't work out the way that we wanted them to was something that we may have done. And so we need to look and pay special attention to our contribution to the outcome that eventually occurred. What did we do that led to this outcome? With the example of taking a test and, you know, expecting to do really well, was it because maybe you didn't study as much as you should have? Was it because there were some things that you didn't understand and then, you know, the last minute you thought, oh, maybe I understand it, but you really could have benefited from going and talking to the teacher a little bit more just to make sure that you really understood what was happening and what was the material that you were studying. Sometimes we feel very confident because we work really hard on something, but we fail to perform as well as we could because we procrastinated and waited until the last minute. You know, this happens a lot of times with people doing projects for work or even projects for school, where you feel pretty confident about the topic or about the project that you're working on. And so you put it off and put it off and put it off. And then, you know, the weekend before it's due, you crash and you just really pour everything into it. And you may spend, you know, 15 hours working on it, but that 15 hours was condensed within a couple of days. And when we go back and we look at it, most of the time, many times when we're in those situations, we settle. We say, well, I really would have liked to have done it this way, but I just don't have time, and so I'm going to do it this way. Unless we go back and analyze that, we tend to forget that altogether. We tend to dismiss that we even did that, which means that in our memory, all we're really focusing on was, man, I worked on that for 15 hours and he didn't even appreciate it. He didn't even like it. Well, when we can break it down and go back and really look at it, then we see that, okay, well, I could have done better here because since I procrastinated, you know, I had to settle for making this decision when I really know that I would have liked to have made this decision. This is especially applicable to many times when kids are doing science fair projects. I talk to kids a lot of times that have fantastic, wonderful ideas, but they put off starting it and put off starting it and put off starting it, and then they end up doing, you know, throwing something together at the last minute that they're really not that interested in, but they put some time into it and they get it done, and it doesn't work out in the way that they wanted it to. It doesn't work out where they get the grade that they were hoping to get, and really the grade that they should have gotten, because, you know, they know what's going, they understand the process, they understand what they're doing, they just didn't put the time over a period of time into the project the way that they should have. So in those situations, again, it's really important to go back and analyze what happened, what led to those kinds of decisions, and what can I do different next time? And that leads us to step four. And step four is, when you see the contribution of other people that made it feel right or made it end up not working out the way that you wanted it to, and you see the contribution that you played in what went right or what made it feel right and what eventually led to the disappointment, now what we need to do is we need to look at those things that went wrong and see what we can change. What is adjustable? Using that same example of the science fair project, certainly it's adjustable or it's changeable to say, okay, instead of working on it the last week before it's due, I'm going to, next year, I'm going to create a schedule so that I start, you know, as soon as I find out that when the science fair project is due, I'm going to start working on it day one, and I'm going to work on it over time so that I can really put the time and energy and pay attention to the details that I want to pay attention to. So we want to look at those scenarios and figure out what can we change? What can we do better next time so that we are more likely to get the outcome that we're expecting? Now, a really important other aspect of this step is there are going to be times when things went wrong. There's going to be times when you have these things that cause the problem, cause the disappointment, and you're going to be able to identify what needs to be changed. But you may really need to sit back and think, is that something that I want to change? We tend to work in a direction that says, well, whenever something is wrong, we need to fix what is wrong. Well, I'm going to challenge that just a little bit by saying sometimes what is wrong in one situation may be right in a different situation. And so we don't want to create an impression where we're going to, anytime something goes wrong, we're going to completely change that. Because absolutely there are times when, you know, something that doesn't fit in one circumstance fits perfectly in a different circumstance. And so we need to make sure that we are adjustable, we are flexible in that way so that we can deal with the situations as they come, instead of just sort of universally looking at, okay, anytime there's a scenario like this, I'm going to do that. Because sometimes there's some adjustments that are needed. Sometimes there's changes that are needed. So for example, if you work from the perspective that, okay, the only way that I'm going to do good on a school project is if I start 2 weeks early and I work on it a little bit every day, and you have that in your mind that that's the only way that I'm going to be able to be successful on it. Well, there will be times, and I say that with absolution, there will be times when a teacher is going to assign something on a Friday and say it's due on Monday. So you only have the weekend to work on it. Sometimes there's going to be, you know, even a situation where the teacher will assign something on Monday and it'll be due on Friday. And so not only do you have just the 4 or 5 days, but those are school days. Those are days when you're going to be getting other assignments and have other homework. And so you may not be able to dedicate the time and energy that you feel like you should for a big project. This absolutely happens. And so we need to be able to be flexible enough to deal with those kinds of situations. So again, for step four, what we were going to do is we're looking at what went wrong, determine what we can change those things that we should, but try to remain flexible and determine if some of those things that went wrong for that particular situation, maybe things that we hold on to a little bit, but we adjust and just use only in circumstances where it's more appropriate. It's not easy. Sometimes we're going to need some help with that. Granted, we need that sort of third perspective of somebody else looking into it and saying, okay, well, this is a situation where you may need to do it that way, and that's a situation where you may need to do it that way. Getting the support from other people who have experienced these kinds of things may be really beneficial in that area, especially with step four there. And all of this leads us to step five, the final step, and that is we got to take all this information, all right? So we've let our emotions settle, then we went through and we analyzed what felt right about the situation. We analyzed what went wrong with the situation. We determined what, if anything, we needed to change for future situations. And now the fifth step is we got to take all of that information and integrate it into our understanding and our processes. Schemas is what we call them in the scientific literature. We got to integrate that into our schemas for problem solving in the future. So when we're in it, the next time we're in a similar situation, we can draw back on, okay, the last time I was doing this, I had to do that and I had to do that. But I remember when I did this, that caused a problem. So I'm going to avoid doing that. And you want to integrate all that information. We call that critical thinking skills. Critical thinking skills takes new experiences, integrates them with your existing experiences so that you can learn and make better decisions in the future. So what we're doing here with this fifth step is we're using critical thinking as a tool, as an implement for looking at these situations, taking the important pieces, the good important pieces and the bad important pieces, and integrating them in such a way that it's going to inform us so that we make better decisions in the future and we understand our situations a little bit better in the future. A great place for these types of this type of process is in relationships. You know, sometimes relationships just don't work out the way that we want them to. Sometimes that's because of the other person, and sometimes that's because of us. And so when we walk through this same five-step process, we can see what we did right, what felt right about the relationship, what went wrong with the situation, what the other person had to do with it, what we had to do with it, integrate that so that the next time we're in a relationship and we see the other person behaving in a particular way, we should be able to think back and say, okay, the last time I was in a relationship and the person behaved that way, it led to these problems. Okay, so now I can anticipate those problems so they're not going to catch me off guard like they did last time. And second, I can make a decision about whether I want to allow the relationship to get to that point before I do something about it or not. That kind of knowledge is very empowering, because what it allows you to do is it allows you to be a little more assertive and take control of some of these situations instead of being reactive. Always being reactive is a very, I guess just simply put, a very difficult way to live life, because we feel like we have no control. We're just, you know, things are being hurled at us and we're reacting over and over and over again, but we're not taking any proactive steps to fix it, to get the person to stop hurling things at us. And so when we can analyze these situations and look at what we, the factors that are at play, and we can then make decisions about that for ourselves, well, that gives us a little bit more control and makes us feel much better about our circumstances and our position in life. So that step five is so important for relationships, for homework, for work projects, for decisions regarding employments, anything, any situation. This kind of integration of this information is important. You know, with these processes, you know, one of the things I tell patients a lot is that the people that we become, the people that we are, is much more informed by the problems that we've had in our life, the issues, the challenges we've experienced in life. The easy times were easy. When things went exactly as planned, those times were easy. But the person that you are is most formed, most influenced by the challenges that we experienced, by the difficult times, by the disappointment. Because it's through that disappointment that we learn who we are, what we stand for, what we can manage and tolerate, and what we can't. And we take that information, and that helps us become the people that we're intended to be. So, all right, I hope that's helpful. I hope you're able to use those tools to better manage disappointment, to better manage frustration, and live a happier life where you have a little bit more, feel like you have a little bit more control over the way things work out for you. So, all right, until next time, I'm Dr. Bernie. Stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.